But the last time we were together, we talked about belief, right? And we said, if you have to see it to believe it, that's not God. Amen. It's backwards. It's upside down. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In the kingdom of God, you got to believe it first to see it, right? Amen. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Remember, Jesus told us about doubting Thomas?
Yes.
He had to see it to believe it. And Jesus told him, he said, because thou hast seen me, thou believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. So to live a blessed life, saints of God, is by faith. Amen. You got to believe it first, and then you'll see it. And I asked you all the question, right? I said, what is this going to take for us to believe God? Amen. And the answer is faith. That's what it's going to take. Huh? But the beauty of faith is God gave us all a measure of faith. We all have it. Amen. We all have faith. Another good thing about it is you don't have to have an abundance of it. Amen. You don't have to have an abundance of faith. Amen. The Bible says if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, that what it said? You don't have to have like a whole lot. It just said faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Is that the word? So how much faith does it take to believe, saints, that Jesus Christ is Lord? Not much. Because just look at our lives without Christ. See, you know how they say, let a man examine himself? Look at your life without Christ, and then look at it in Christ. How he removed that reproach off of us. Huh? And it's plain to see the Savior, he is the Savior of the whole world. Amen. It doesn't take much faith, really, to believe that. Huh? We can just look at, we can just examine ourselves, right? We saw that in that miracle last week with Farrakhan, didn't we? He said, because he lives, we live also. And it's an abundant life that we live, right? Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly, right? What's the most abundant life we can have anyway, saints? What is the most abundant life? Amen. Elder Vic say everlasting life. Eternal life. It's forever. It don't get no better than that. Praise God. So we thank God for Jesus. Amen. And faith. The currency of heaven is faith, saints. Amen. And we know you don't need a whole lot of it. Just need a little bit of it, huh? And you can move a mountain. Amen. But I want to talk about something else that goes with that. And that is the heart of God. Today I love talking about the heart of God because that's how we got saved. Amen. You all heard this expression that says, have a heart. Huh? Usually when you hear somebody say, have a heart, it's like, that's a saying that's really full of grace and mercy. Like, please, can you just have some compassion? That's what they're really saying.
That's right.
Have a heart. Have some mercy. Amen. And that's what God is full of. That's the heart of God. It's grace and mercy.
Right.
And how do we get saved? By grace, by faith. By grace, how does that scripture go? By grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Huh, that's what Farrakhan figured it out. I can't boast on all these works we do. I'm trying to live. That's what he was saying. I'm trying to live. You know, devil, you can't have me. See, he had him at first. Without Jesus, he got all of us. Amen. So the heart of God is grace and mercy. Amen. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith and not by works, lest any man should boast. And we're going to look today. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. So whenever, you know, we're looking at the heart of God, we got to look at David. Amen. Because he said, because the Bible says he was the man after God's own heart. And I used to hear pastors say, and I still hear him say this, that it's because David was so quick to repent. That's what made him after God's own heart. Amen. They say that all the time. You know, David, and David was quick to repent. David would, I mean, he messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. Just like me, I do the same thing. Lord, it said be zealous to repent. Quick. Amen. But God showed me something different. Huh? That's not the, repentance is not the heart of God. Amen. Even though God repented. You all remember? The Bible said God repented to Israel. Amen. He repented. One of another thing, he repented when he made Saul king. When he made Saul king, he went, but he said, I repent. But when God repents, hear me on this one, saints. I don't want y'all to get this one twisted. When God repents, it's not like when man repents. Okay? When man repents, it's because of sin. We done messed up. Amen. But when God repents, it's not because of sin. God don't know nothing about sin. Amen. He gives us free will. So he really, when he repented, he really was wishing, I wish he could have got that right. Not to say he didn't know, because he's all knowing. Right, right. But he still gives us a free will. So we can go the other way. We have free will to do it. Amen. So repentance is not his heart, saints. It's not a lifestyle. That's not his MO. Because why? Because he doesn't know sin. So his lifestyle was not, I got to repent. That's not his lifestyle. That's not his MO. God don't know nothing about evil. Amen. Amen. The heart of God is not repentance, saints. The heart of God, again, is grace and mercy. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to show that to you in the scriptures. I'm going to make it plain. I want me to make it plain. I'm going to make it plain. So let's look at David, because he gave us a good example. He said he was after his own heart. Did he say that about anybody else? So we can look at David real good and get the heart of God. Okay, again, we all in agreement. He repented quick. Amen. He did do that. And he made plenty of mistakes. But here's a scripture. I want you all to focus on this one right here. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. The Bible says, so we know, saints of God, when we hear you talk, we know what's in your heart. Amen. Because the scriptures plainly tell us out of the abundance of whatever's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. Amen. So that's how we know. So let's look at what's in David's heart by what came out of his mouth. That's how we're going to find out. Okay, since David was a man after God's own heart, we're going to look at what he was talking about, huh, to find out what was in David's heart. Amen. What makes him after God's heart? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 136. Scripture says, out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we want to see clearly what David is talking about, so we'll know how he was after God's heart. Amen. So in Psalms, we know David wrote much of the Psalms, David and Solomon. And so, but 136, this is David speaking. You are there? Look at verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endure forever. So David is saying here, God is good. Amen. And his mercy goes how long?
Forever.
Okay. So right here, it's clear. David is on some high-end truth. He's telling us God is good. That's in his heart. And then he's saying his mercy is forever. That's in his heart. Amen. All right, look at this one. It says, verse 2 says, oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. So what's coming out of David's mouth? Give thanks, right? The dialect of a believer is thank you, right? Amen. So he's telling us give thanks, and he's steadily talking about mercy. What's in his heart? Mercy is coming out his mouth right now. His mercy endureth forever. He's steadily talking about the mercy of God. And then he's just not talking about any God, right? Because, you know, the God of this world is money, right? He ain't talking about that God. Because, look, he said, oh, give thanks unto who? The God of gods. Amen. So it's a lot of gods, evidently. Amen. But he's talking about the God of gods. Let's give him thanks. That's what he's saying right here, right? All right, look at verse 3. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. All right? So, you know, I'm seeing a whole lot of mercy here. Amen. David was full of mercy, saints. Amen. I can tell. How can I tell? Out of the abundance of the heart, he's speaking it. Is he speaking it? All right, look at verse 4. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. What's with all this mercy, God, enduring forever? Huh? God is full of grace and mercy. Amen? And so is David. He's steadily saying it. All right, look at verse 5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. He's talking about that God. The one that by wisdom made heaven. Huh? We still on the God of gods, right? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 6 says, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endure forever. So what was that song we sing? We serve what kind of God? We serving. Now, look at what he's doing. He stretched out the earth above the water. So it was just water, right? And he just stretched the earth out above it. Okay, water, you're going to be right there, and the earth going to be right here. Amen. He's talking about that God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Elder. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Look at verse 7. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endure forever. Could God help but make great lights, saints? He is light. Amen. It said to him that made great lights, God is a great light. Amen. But he's still talking about this mercy enduring forever. What is David full of? Mercy. Grace and mercy. He's full of it. All right, look at verse 8. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endure forever. And that's a great light right there. Huh? The sun? Is that a great light? We can barely look at it. Huh? We can look at God through the filter of Jesus. Amen. But that sun, we need something to filter that. We just can't look up at that sun. Huh? Y'all catching that revelation? All right, I'm going to move on. Verse 9. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endure forever. See, he even made lights for the nighttime, saints. See, Elder Vic said God is in control. When is God in control? All the time, the day and the night. He made some light for night, too. God is something else. Amen. Look at verse 10. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. We love him, saints of God, even more for this, right? Because why did he smote Egypt? Because they was holding his people in bondage, right? God is not going to allow, let me give y'all this revelation. I'm trying not to go on this rant. God is not going to allow his people to be in bondage. Amen. See, that's why the devil was so crafty when they talk about Jesus, how he flipped the image, and now blacks say, oh, no, that's a white God. I'm not worshiping that white God. Uh-uh. That's not going to happen. Amen. But here, they just look at this piece right here, saints. Here we were in slavery, right? And what was our ancestors singing? Amazing Grace. They singing Amazing Grace in bondage. If this was a white God, would he let them go? How do we get free? Huh? And then we get free, and then we want to act like them. How silly is that? Huh? And then they say, well, no, that's not our God. You know, we're not worshiping. How do you think we got free? They wouldn't have never let us go. They got free labor forever. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Huh? We would still be in bondage. Look at this scripture right here. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. He wasn't having it. He wasn't going to have his people in bondage. Amen. The Egyptians had them in bondage, just like they had us in bondage. Amen. God freed us. Amen. He got us out. Amen. Look at this. Verse 11. And brought out Israel from among them. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. For his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts. Huh? What will he do for his people? He didn't divide the sea. Huh? He told Pharaoh, what did he tell Pharaoh, y'all? You going to let my people go. Pharaoh say, no, I'm not. I got them. I'm keeping them. Oh, no. You're going to let them go. Pharaoh said, I'm not letting them go. Moses, go up in there and get them. Amen. God will not have us in bondage, saints of God. That's why we love him. Huh? Bondage is over. Okay, look at verse 14. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. For his mercy endureth forever. That's what we're doing. We're just passing through the midst. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. For his mercy endureth forever. See, Pharaoh now was coming after him. Hey, I'm going to get him. I told you I ain't letting him go. So he just overthrew him. They went through the sea. When God's people went through the sea, it was cool. It was open. Everybody went through. As soon as they went through, and here come Pharaoh and his army. Sea closed. Amen. Is that what verse 15 say? But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. We're in the wilderness, and God is still with us. He's leading us through the wilderness. What kind of grace and mercy does he have? Huh? David is showing it. David was full of grace and mercy too. Is this what he's talking about? The scripture said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look what David is speaking about. Amen. Okay, look at verse 18. It says, 17 says, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Shion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. We got so much to look for. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And have redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Isn't that something? Praise God. I'm here to tell you today, David is a man after God's own heart because of grace and mercy. Not because he was quick to repent. Amen. David was full of grace and mercy. That's what's coming out of his mouth in all these scriptures. Amen. Because that was his heart, saints. And that's God's heart. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart, people of God. Oh, we thank God for David, don't we? Yes. Warrior. Amen. Yes. A man after God's own heart. So it's a great example for us. If we want to be after the heart of God, we got to have grace and mercy. Amen. That's what's going to get us after the heart of God. Let me show you something. Y'all want to see something powerful? Hey, I know y'all came for the powerfulness of God. Amen. Let me show you this right here. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Let me show y'all this about David real quick. Amen. We're talking about the heart of God today, saints. And God is full of grace and mercy. Amen. He saved us because of his grace and mercy. Huh? And then he gave us a measure of faith to couple it with his grace and mercy. So we need faith and God's grace and mercy to be saved. Amen. That's what we need. We saved by grace through faith, not by anything we do. Amen. Then he says, lest no man can boast. Oh, it's not going to be no boasting. Amen. Farrakhan got that. Let me make a statement on Farrakhan real quick, because they trying to water that down. Of course, that's the devil. You think the devil going to let that go out there and not do nothing? Huh? Here's what's going on. They say, yeah, he was talking about Jesus, but he ain't talking about the Jesus we talk about. He said his Jesus, da-da-da-da-da. They was going on like that, right? I say, oh, okay. We'll explain this part right here. Why did he say, I'm going to have to, for 40 years, I know I'm going to have to pay for what I've been teaching. Explain that part to me. Devil. Huh? Devil, explain that part. Make that make sense. Huh? See, when God makes a power move, Satan makes a move too. Amen. What does he always want to do? Pervert and cause doubt. See, what did he tell Eve? See, that tree is not really. Come on now. He just wanted her to doubt a little bit. He just wants you to doubt. Maybe it ain't what you think it is. Huh? He loves to cause doubt. And I knew that was coming. Amen. But God is good. God is greater. Amen. All right, we're going to get back after the man, after God's own heart, which was David, right? So you all in 1 Samuel. Chapter 24. All right, let me tell you what was going on. King Saul was chasing David around, trying to kill him. Because the prophet Samuel told Kent the king, God is not pleased with you, and he rejected you. Amen. And he knew David was going to replace him. Huh? Let's examine that for a minute. I just caught something right there. So the king Saul knew David was going to replace him. So you try to kill him? What kind of heart did Saul have? It wasn't after God's, was it? Huh? He said, hey, you know, Samuel told me that God going to replace me. He rejected me. So I'm going to kill the one who God was got picked to take my place. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's what was happening. So he chased David all around trying to kill him, right? Look at verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. It's really En-Gedi. So David was in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So now, Saul went in the cave, right? Look like to take a nap. It said to cover his feet, right? All right, look at verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. So David got his enemy. Huh? He in there asleep. And David cut his robe off, right? And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. What kind of heart does David have? He said his heart smote him, meaning I was feeling bad. I cut his skirt off. I feel bad about that. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 6. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Now check this out. Because David is saying, the Lord forbid that I do this to him because he's the anointed of God. But really, was he anointed? He was. And then God rejected him. So he took the anointing off him and put it on David. Amen. But not in David's eyes. David was like, I can't do this to the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. So now, see, David's men, they wanted to kill him. They're like, what are you talking about? We can't let him get away. He's been chasing us around all this time. We got him. Amen. Why did David kill him, saints? Why didn't David kill Saul? Come on. Because his heart was full of grace and mercy. I just want y'all to see how clear it is. He could have killed. He was not God's anointed. He could have killed him. That was his enemy. But he said, I'm not going to do it. Because his heart was full of grace and mercy. Let me give y'all this revelation right here. When God put an anointing on you, amen, and you mess up, guess what? He's not going to kill you. He's not going to kill you. Look what David did. He's full of grace and mercy. He said, this was my anointed. I'm not going to do that. Amen. Oh, y'all got to see that one. It's so clear. All right. We're on verse 8. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Verse 10 says, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but my eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Look at David. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. He's showing him, look, I got your skirt. I'm not just talking. I could have killed you. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. Can you imagine this? That's what God is saying, really. I could kill you. Huh? I could take, but no, I don't. I'm giving y'all a chance. Amen. Grace and mercy. I'm full of that. Amen. Look at verse 12. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. And saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceeded from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words. Y'all see what's in his heart, what's coming out of his mouth unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Saul couldn't believe it. Saul was like, what in the world kind of grace and mercy is this? That's how we feel about the Lord, isn't it? Lord, how in the world could you give us your only son? What kind of grace? How do you do something like that? That's what he's thinking right now. Lord, what in the world? Saul had to cry. Amen. What verse was I on, saints? And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord hath delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. That's how some of us feel about God, too. He loves us more than we love our own self. Huh? We hurt our own self and do silly things. And God is saying, you know what, Lord? You love us more than we love our own self. Look at verse 19. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand. David is saying, okay, I see why you're going to be the king. Saul. Saul is saying, you know, I see why God is delivering Israel into your hands. Amen. Let me tell y'all this real quick. Do you all know where the saying came where it says, obedience is better than sacrifice? We hear that all the time. Be like, hey, obedience is better than sacrifice. Y'all know where that came from? The same story. That's why God rejected him. That was the final thing he did. This is what he told Saul to do. Saul was getting ready to go into a great battle. And he told him, before you go into this battle right here, I'm going to send Samuel up there. And Samuel is going to do a sacrifice for you before you go into that battle. And Saul, okay. So when the battle, it was getting a little raging, it was getting ready to jump off. And Samuel was running a little bit late. So Saul said, Samuel is running late. I better do this sacrifice. So Saul did the sacrifice. And when Saul did the sacrifice, here comes Samuel. He sees Samuel coming. Samuel's like, what's going on? He said, it was getting a little heated, and I didn't know you was going to make it, so I did the sacrifice myself. And Samuel said, you fool. Obedience to God is better than sacrifice. That's where that came from. That story came from right here. And that's what got him rejected of God. And that's why God said, now I'm going to get a man after my own heart who's going to do what I tell him to do. Amen. Who's full of grace and mercy, just like me. Amen. Because the people wanted Saul. God never wanted to give him a king anyway. God was ruling him through Samuel. Amen. The prophet. That's God's plan. But the people said, nope, we want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. God warned him. Well, look, this is what the king going to do. He going to take your females. He going to do this. He going to take your sons and make them run and be slaves with the cart. He going, we don't care what he do. Give us a king. So God told Samuel, give him the king. That's when he anointed Saul. But God went, and that's why I said when God repented, he didn't want to do it. But he didn't repent as if I did an evil thing. He just didn't want to do it. But the people have spoken, and God gave us all what? Free will. Okay, if y'all wanted to be like that, I gave that to you. I can't fight you. Amen? I don't want y'all to be puppets. I give you good and evil, but please choose the good. That's what God is. Amen? And the same, let me give you this revelation real quick. The same on that racism issue I was telling you all about. God made this so plain to me. Because we think, you know, because the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's a perverter of the truth. So whatever your hang-up is, that's what he's going to use to get you. Amen? So if your hang-up is black and white, then he'll use that. Or tall and short, or light-skinned and dark-skinned, or fat and skinny, or whatever. Whatever your hang-up is, Satan is an equal opportunity destroyer. He don't care. He just wants you to be hung up. Amen. But here's the truth. Here's the truth right here. God, let me give this to you. I don't want to mess this up. Here's the truth. It's only really two things, saints of God. Two things. And we make it so complicated. But it's, with God, he showed me this so clear. It's two things. It ain't got nothing to do with white and black. It ain't got nothing to do with tall and short, dark skin. It's two things. It's good. That's it. That's all it is with God. It's simply good or evil. But Satan will use anything to get you off your square. Oh, you don't like that kind of person? Yeah, that kind of person ain't no good. They this, they that. And now you into this battle with that person, that type. And that's not even the issue. It's simply good and evil. That's all it is, saints. Amen. And if you don't believe Jesus Christ is Lord, that's evil. Wasn't that the last time I spoke to you all story? That is an evil thing. All right, I'm going to read these last two scriptures. So after Saul came to himself and realized David is deserving to be king, this is what he told him, verse 21. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men got them up unto the hole. So Saul went on and gave up. And after that, too, he still tried to do a couple of things to David, honestly, if you read the whole story. But David went on to be king. Amen. But he honored what he told Saul. Because Saul had a son, just Mephibosheth, who was had the bad foot. He was lame. Minister Lisa be studying. And David went back. David said, now who can I bless in that household? Who can I bless? And he went back and got him. Amen. And let him eat at the king's table. Amen. So David was a man after God's own heart. And God's heart is what, saints? Grace and mercy. Amen. Father, we thank you and we're asking you for grace and mercy today. We need that today, Lord. With the things that are going on, Father, we need grace and we need mercy, Lord. You got to give that to us, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for being so merciful, Father.